Welcome to Wiggly Wigglers Podcast. What a little treat we have in store for you this week, dear listener. It's just me and Farmer Phil having a cup of tea. Thank you, Ms. Trumper. We sat in our kitchen, and this week's show is dedicated to Canada.
Big place, Canada.
It's the world's second largest country by total area and shares land borders with the United States to the south and the northwest. But the reason that it is Canada podcast is because, one, it's the Winter Olympics.
Ski cross.
And two, we are on the Canadian iTunes site, thanks to August95 on Twitter, thank you. And we, turns out, we've got two new reviews in Canada on the iTunes site. That's coming up later, and on this week's show, there's a humble apology from one of the team. Is it you, Farmer Phil?
What have I done wrong there?
It's not you.
Oh.
It can't be Richard.
He's not here. We could make it Richard.
But it's not.
Right.
It's, unfortunately, it's from me. It's a bit of a humiliating, humble, sorry thing that if Richard was here, he would say, told you so. And if Michael was here, he would say, told you so. So there's only you here, and you will say...
But neither of those two said told you so at the time, did they?
They did. Anyway, first of all, we are going to have a treat when Monty goes out and interviews you, Farmer Phil.
Yeah, he came and joined me for half an hour the other morning and asked me a few questions about what we were doing and why we were doing it.
What were you doing?
We were mucking the cattle out.
Hello, Farmer Phil. What are you doing today?
Well, we're mucking the cattle yards out today, Monk, and as you can see, we're loading up all the dirty litter that the cattle have been living on top of for the last couple of months, clearing the yards out and starting from the bottom again from scratch.
And why are you doing it?
Well, the reason we do it is that we operate a deep litter system so that we just keep putting fresh straw in every day, and as it builds up, it can get hot. And as it gets hotter, it tends to harbour disease and infections. And so the idea is that we take it out before the disease pressure gets too great and causes the cattle to be ill. And we also take it out because it rarely is level, so the cattle can get cast on it, which means they get stuck, can't get up. So that you take it out to make sure there aren't any holes and bumps and lumps and what have you in the yard.
And what sort of machinery are you using?
Well, we use a machine called a bobcat. Well, a bobcat is a skid steer loader, so it's got four little wheels that are the same size. And to steer, it spins the wheels backwards and forwards, so it can turn round within its own length. And then we've got a muck fork on the front of that. And then we're carting the muck away with two tractors and trailers, which are road-going tractors, so that they go much quicker than normal tractors on the road.
And why do you use a bobcat, not like a JCB?
Well, there's several reasons why we like the bobcat. One is that it's by far the quickest way of doing it. Another reason is that because it's small and precise, you don't do any damage to the buildings, and you can get in all the little awkward corners and so on. There's no fork work, so you can get everything out clean, and it also breaks the muck up into smaller lumps, which makes it compost or break down better, which is always a good idea because we want it to compost in the field so it's easier to spread.
And what does all the locals say when you mess the road up with the muck?
I hope they're reasonably understanding. We try and clear up behind us if we do have any fall off on the road. But because we're so quick, we do the whole job within 2 days, so that we'll be done and away and have it cleared up and tidy before they've realised what's happened. And some of them obviously end up with the odd lump of muck free for the garden, so that's a bit of a benefit for them.
And why are tractors measured in horsepower and not revs?
Well, that's a good question. The horsepower, I don't think it bears any relation to the number of horses that they replaced, but it is a measure of the power of the engine. Usually you measure it using a thing called a dynamometer, which is basically a device which tells you how hard a tractor can turn a resistant wheel. The revs aren't really a measure of power, they just tell you how fast the engine's going round.
You need a lot of power to do this job.
Well, years ago we used to do this job with a little 35 horsepower tractor, and we'd muck out with a four end loader on the tractor and then a little 3-ton trailer, but it used to take us weeks and weeks to do. And so nowadays we all seem to use bigger tractors, and today we're using, well, two of our smaller tractors. They're about 130 horsepower each. We don't particularly need that power, although we're using much bigger trailers, so it's a lot safer to have a bigger tractor on the bigger trailers. We actually take the muck to Tony Dale's, who's our neighbour, and we do that because we don't want to contaminate our seed growing land with any seeds that might be in the muck. But in return, or as part of the same arrangement, Tony brings his sheep back to our farm and grazes the aftermaths of the grass seed. And that puts a little bit of fertility back into our fields where we could spread the muck. And so that helps to redress the balance a little bit.
Do you have to do anything to look after the sheep?
No. Tony comes and looks after them. They just have the privilege of eating our grass, and that's how it works.
Okay then. Thank you, Dad.
All right then, Mom. We'll Bye. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye from me.
Thank you, Monty. A fact on Canada. Canada has a diversified economy that is heavily reliant upon its abundant natural resources and upon trade, particularly with the United States, with which Canada has a long and complex relationship. I know that because I tried to take wine from America into Canada, into America, and it didn't work. I don't know why. Let's go to our first iTunes review on Canadian iTunes.
Well, the good news is it's 5 stars, well worth your time, and it has been sent in by August 95. So thank you very much indeed for that. It says, I have spent many wonderful hours working in my garden and enjoying the ever educational and spirit-filled conversations that take place on the Wiggly sofa. Heather, Farmer Phil, Richard and their guests bring a wonderful conviction to their subject, be it cow birthing, chocolate eating or tea slurping. The experiences they share with their listeners are varied and unique. You will not find honesty like this very often, and it is refreshing. No subject is taboo and they tackle them head on. That's pretty good, I like that.
And on the note of honesty, here we go. This came in from Jane Hickman. Hi Heather, I've been listening to the Wiggly podcast from the start, well almost from the start, but I have listened to all of the episodes. On the whole, I love the podcast. I look forward to downloading each episode. It makes me laugh, it frequently educates me, though sometimes it makes me shout at my iPod. For example, during the tea tasting episode, I wanted someone to flick Ricardo's off switch so that I could listen to Claire Trumper's excellent guide to tea tasting without a stream of babble from Ricardo cutting across what Claire was saying.
I'll second that.
And me. However, in episode 212, I was dismayed and uncomfortable to hear you all taking the mickey out of the messages that folks have put on their Valentine's bouquets. It felt to me that you were displaying a lack of respect for your messages that they had written. Maybe you intended it as a gentle leg pull, but it felt wrong to me that you were treating your customers with such low regard. I've been a customer of Wiggly Wigglers in the past. I've recommended your company to others. I would like to continue to do so because I admire what your company does. I just asked that you please think carefully before ridiculing your customers on your podcast again. I think it reflects badly on your company's attitude to your customers, which I am sure is not one of disrespect. I hope you don't mind me sending this email to point out my concern and accept the criticism in the constructive manner to which it was sent. Oh, Jane, the thing is, as I emailed you back, I put the following. Glad to hear you normally enjoy us. I'd also like an on-off switch on Ricardo, but the Valentine's messages were entirely my fault. As you probably heard, they were a year old to make sure that none of them were relevant. We did indeed intend it as the most gentle leg pull, and we would hate to offend anyone about this. The names, of course, were not revealed. It was inspired by the one from the cat. Because what happened was, the chap who sent the Valentine's from the cat had to phone in about his credit card, and he kept saying, "It's from the cat, it's from the cat, it's from the cat," and we thought it was really funny. I thought it was cute and funny. I thought folks would enjoy it. I have learned that having our own podcast is a matter of balance. We would hate to sanitise it or be unduly worried about different humour reactions, but also, if I have offended or indeed shown a lack of respect, I apologise. I promise to read her email out. Anyway, she comes back to me and she says, don't sanitise the podcast. She didn't hear that they were the last year's message till right at the end, but her point still stands. And I agree with her. So there we are. The boys said we shouldn't do it, but I said, they'll understand we're not taking the mickey out of the customers because it was last year and the cat man was so funny, blah, blah, blah. And I thought it was funny and I wouldn't hate to offend anyone. And of course, to say anyone's name. Shall I go on?
I think we're sorry.
Sorry, Jane. Sorry, listener, if we offended in any way. And especially for you, Jane, just for you, Claire Trumper is back on this week's show. She's back talking about tea bags on the Wiggly sofa. Here we go. Well, just before Claire left, all those weeks ago, we decided that we needed to find out more about her tea bags, because the thing is, she goes on about loose leaf tea and then secretly she's got this sack of tea bags.
Well, she did mention, like, she said these are biodegradable tea bags, and now we missed our opportunity to talk about that.
So, we brought her in again, all the way from Hereford.
Yeah.
Claire, come on then, spill the tea bags.
Ah, spill the tea bags, Heather. This is a fantastic little gadget. I'm not great on gadgets, but this is a great thing that I've found.
I think you're very proud of this.
Am I? Okay, all right, okay.
Confession time.
Confession time, Richard. This is a biodegradable tea bag.
Right.
It's basically a do-it-your-own tea bag for loose-leaf tea lovers.
Okay.
So folks like myself...
It's quite big, isn't it?
I mean, it is. Big, it's lovely and big.
It's a good sort of, I don't know, 5 inches, something like that, maybe?
Oh, yes.
5-6 inches?
Yes, 5-6 inches, and then a couple of inches across. Something like that, yes. I'm trying to keep it... anyway, let's go on about the tea bag for a minute.
Phil could use that, possibly, as a sock, couldn't he? A little warmer, do you think? Anyway, sorry. Sorry, Phil.
Where is nose?
I just can't resist the temptation. Anyway, sorry.
I'll go on about the Boreal loose leaf, shall I? Yes. Folks that might want to do a blend, perhaps a little bit of Earl Grey with their English breakfast, or some folks that I've met like just a smidgen of rooibos with their English breakfast.
Yeah. Oh.
This is a great opportunity, Heather, to how to do this. So if you're an individual and you want just a cup, or I've got a teapot here, you just open the top up, take a spoonful of tea from your caddy and you just pop it into the tea bag. There's a little lip on the side here that either goes between the top of the teapot and the lid, or just sort of folds over your cup there.
Right.
Pour the boiling water on, let it brew well.
Yeah.
As I said before, a good sort of 3 to 4 minutes of brewing. But there's enough room within that tea bag to allow the leaf to move around and for the water to be all around the tea leaf.
Okay.
So it doesn't constrain the leaf.
That's all important as well.
So very important.
So when PG tips, which I find a particularly unpleasant cup of tea, actually.
Right,
I quite like Tetley tea.
Right.
It's all right. But when they talk about pyramidal bags releasing the flavour, as they relentlessly did on TV for a while there,
sure.
That is true, is it?
It is true, but you need to still have a smaller cut of leaf to allow the water to brew around your small pyramid bag or your small round bag or whatever.
Right, right.
This is so much larger, as you can see.
Yeah.
It's probably three times the size of a normal tea bag.
At least.
And it's got the volume for the leaf to actually brew and infuse properly and give you those good flavours.
Okay.
But the bestest bit of all, well, apart from the fact there's no mesh, you literally lift it straight out of your cup or straight out of your teapot. Because
right.
I have quite a few people concerned about the mess of loose leaf tea.
Yeah.
But this actually gets around that, either on an individual basis or families with teapots or whatever. But the bestest bit for me, conventional tea bags have very, very fine lines of plastic running through the tea bags.
They do. And this
is something
I wanted to talk about, because the wormeries that Wigley's we sell and that I take out and give talks to and run through and shows and things like that.
Yes.
When we used to drink Tetley tea in the office,
yep.
a couple of years ago we changed to fair trade tea.
Right.
And there was a noticeable distinction between the way the tea bag breaks down.
The bags would decompose, yeah.
There are still Tetley tea bags in some of the
wormeries
from a couple of years ago, the remnants of the tea bag, whereas the fair trade teas, and Yorkshire tea for that matter,
will disappear.
Disappears very quickly.
Absolutely.
I can't believe we're talking for hours on a flipping tea bag.
It's amazing, isn't it?
How sad are we?
Beggars belief.
Yes.
Beggars belief.
Doesn't it?
But
and I see you two sat there getting completely
embarrassed. It's part of life, isn't it? I mean, it really is. You know.
It's very important to your worms,
yes,
I would imagine.
It is. But that's a great point.
Mm.
In fact, I noticed a while ago Asda were bringing out a tea bag that was completely made of nylon.
Well, it's a kind of nylon, yes.
Right.
It's a starch bag, a cornstarch bag.
Okay.
But I have some issues with cornstarch bags because
of... It's the GM, isn't it?
Yeah, we're not going to go down there.
No.
We could.
How long have you got? We missed this bit out last time. How long have you got now? I can almost hear people switching off.
But thinking about this tea being loose and larger, is that how the people drink it in the countries that it's from?
Oh,
because
definitely.
Did the English really invent it, sort of thing?
We took it out to all of these places. It obviously came from China and northern India and Assam originally, but then we took it with us and, you know, travelled around the world and planted it in Africa. And it's a relatively new crop in Africa, considering. But yes, we took it with us because we've just become addicted as the years have gone on.
Yeah.
And very luckily, but also a tinged with sadness to me, people still see us as the nation of tea drinkers. We may be the nation of tea drinkers, but my goodness me, are we tasting and drinking some pretty poor products.
Do you think she'll spill the beans? Do you think she'll tell us the worst tea?
I wouldn't dare.
Wouldn't you?
Probably not.
Is any of the teas the floor sweepings, like my gran said?
They're not floor sweepings, but when you actually cut a leaf, it's like looking at the bottom of a lawnmower. When you've cut the grass and it's a bit wet, you get different sized particles. And so for tea bags, you need the smallest particle size that you can get for that sort of bit of scientific bit again to actually get that very, very quick brew that we talked about last year. And it's really important to get that because that's what consumers see as strength and quality. And we all like quickness, so that's where tea bags have won.
Yeah.
But I think you'll agree that that's a pretty good compromise. You'll still get depth of flavour, but at the same time you get convenience of using a so-called tea bag.
Yeah, but, wonderful. You know, Rich is obviously, he's sitting there just trying not to ask this question, but it's burning on his lips.
You knew, didn't I? You knew that I was thinking.
And the question is...
Yeah, on balance.
And the question is it reusable?
No. No, it's not reusable.
You're not going to be able to hang them up
with a little peg on your line out there.
My gran, I mean, obviously it's a domestic thing. My
several
gran
times
even was so frugal that she would dry her tissues out that she blew her nose in. I don't do that, but you know, there's obviously kind of there are inclinations there born in the blood,
right?
But,
and
I'm sure she would have been able to fix that and possibly scrape out the tea and dry it out. So potentially, you know, I mean, you say
possibly can, Richard.
I'm sure there's mileage in it.
I look forward to hearing from you. See how many brews you can get from one bag, Richard.
I think you need a blog on that website.
Yes, I think we do. How many brews can you?
Thank you very much, Claire. Let's go to Monty for a Montycast, a weekly fact about wiggliness.
The Montycast, a weekly fact on wiggliness. Oyster mushrooms are creamy-coloured, mild-flavoured fungi. Another Montycast next week.
Thank you, Monty. Let's have the next Canadian review, but first, a Canada fact. Canada is a federation composed of 10 provinces and 3 territories. In turn, these can be grouped into regions. Western Canada consists of British Columbia and the 3 prairie provinces, Alberta, Saskatchewan and Manitoba. That's good wheat growing, isn't it, Phil?
That is big wheat growing there. Big fields. Lots of open space.
Let's have an iTunes review from Canada.
Here we go. This one's from White Tulips. And I'm pleased to say it's another 5-star, so thank you very much again. Good fun. Learned a lot from the tea programme and the one on mistletoe. I only have a community plot garden, but I love the things that you talk about and the humour. Here in west coast of Canada, we have some of the same climate and birds as England, but my setting is urban, so no farms, unfortunately. Still very enjoyable. Thank you.
You're welcome. Before we go, the last fact on Canada is... Canada is a parliamentary democracy and a constitutional monarchy, with Queen Elizabeth II as its head of state. And my last mention of Canada is, did you know they had 300 practices at that skeleton run? That skeleton women's run. 300 practices those Canadians have, and do you know who won?
Go on, you're about to tell me.
Amy.
She's a good girl, isn't
Amy
she?
From Britain. And do you know what they did then? Complained about a helmet. But I bear no grudge. Canada, but you have put on a brilliant Olympics.
In fairness to the Canadians, they have got mooses in Canada.
They have got mooses.
And mooses are one of the most wonderful looking beasts you'll ever like to meet. I just think they're great.
And they've got great ski slopes, great people, and they've got ski cross, but they've also got curling. Anyway, for another week. Hope you've enjoyed the show. This week's show has been recorded exclusively on our Marantz multiplayer, multi-track, portable recorder. Bye.
Bye from me.
Michael's going to kill us for that. If you get a chance to have a look at the Wiggly catalogue this week, let me know what you think. And if you've not received one in the post and you'd like to, just email me, heather@wigglywigglers.co.uk, or pop to the website wigglywigglers.co.uk and subscribe. We'd love to send you one.